Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Gage and Allie Farmer all the way up from the big city of Spencer, Tennessee. Did you guys get a speeding ticket on the way here today?
Luckily, we didn't, but my stepdad did yesterday.
Oh, man. I mean, that's what I feel like people know Spencer for the most.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
And we can see the highway from our front door.
Yeah.
So it's all the time, mm-hmm. all night.
They haven't pulled over.
My fiance is a police officer. And so I'm like, it's a speed trap. He's like, it's illegal in Tennessee to have a speed trap. I'm like, I don't know. They're
yep.
trying there.
Yep.
But there's more to Spencer than speeding.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you guys are going to tell us, you're very involved in what goes on in Spencer.
Yep.
Correct. So you're the vice chairman of the Economic Development and Tourism Council. How long has that been in existence?
That's actually a new thing that we have just started maybe 4 to 6 months ago. We have a chamber of commerce mm-hmm. that has been involved in years, and we just felt like this new council would help drive tourism and just developing the area a little better than the chamber can. So we formed this with the mayor of Spencer. She was really the driving force,
yeah.
In forming this. And, you know, we have all kinds of people involved, restaurant owners, the manager of the lodge in Fall Creek Falls is also involved. We have,
which is a huge tourism
mm-hmm. yep.
draw that I feel like us local, you know, I'm saying locals as Upper Cumberland, we just like kind of, it's Fall Creek Falls. And it's like, no, people come from all over to go to Fall Creek Falls.
Exactly. And it's the biggest state park in Tennessee and the most visited.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and no one knows that they're coming through Spencer to get to this park,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's, I think, what we're really trying to capture is everybody that drives through, we want them spending money in Spencer and stopping there to eat and buy things instead of spending all their money in the park.
Yeah. For sure. Well, I think that's what people forget sometimes is that tourism is all about spending dollars and using those tax dollars for the betterment of that community. Are both of you from this area? Have you always been?
Well, we've actually both were born and raised in Dalton, mm-hmm. Georgia. Mm-hmm. And my family's from Spencer. My mom's side of the family, she was born, raised, went to Van Buren County High School. And when she graduated, she moved to Georgia and met my dad. And that's how
graduation class of what? When your mom, I mean, Spencer's a small little area.
Wow. I don't even know.
Remember.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe
I would 90s. Say less than 50-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's yeah. probably graduating in the 90s.
Probably
yeah.
maybe.
Oh, yeah. She's going to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Like, yeah. So there's just not very many, you know, it's a small mm-hmm. community, but you are young couple that are trying to kind of change the layout of this.
Yeah, and I think that's what helps us out so much is because we went to a really large school.
Mm-hmm. And we lived in a really big city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't think it was big when we lived there.
No, but now we do.
But, you know, my mom talks about her graduating class of like 40.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we
yeah.
had 400.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yes.
we went to school with each other, went to the same class and everything, and I didn't know her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Allie, how has it been living in Tennessee and kind of experiencing this small town? You recently, you have an almost year and a half old mm-hmm. baby, and sometimes that feels great to have that like slower pace of life, but there's there's no Walmart that's mm-hmm. just up the street that when you run out of diapers that it's just easy. I mean, it's not like there's nothing in Spencer,
yeah.
but you know, where you go to Walmart and you can get everything you need in one stop mm-hmm. shop. You're not having that.
Yes. Yeah, so when we first moved, it was a culture shock because there's things there, but it's not the same like you were saying. And it took us probably a year to adjust to just you have to shop different. And with having our son this past year, we really have to have routines and things to make sure that we're going to the store on time to make sure before he runs out of diapers mm-hmm. and things like that. But we love the small town, raising our son in it because it feels so safe and everyone knows you. Everyone loves us. Everyone loves our son. And that's one of the best things about Spencer.
So what has been the driving force of getting you guys involved? So Gage, you're also on the Planning Commission for the City of Spencer.
Correct.
Which when you get active in you know, kind of the government, you really have this passion to build up this community. For those, for me, I live here in Cookeville. I live in Allgood, which is probably similar, but it's right connected to Cookeville. So Allgood itself might be, but you know, we're close. And so what's the driving factor? Like, what do you want to see or what do you want to showcase about Spencer?
Well, with Spencer being so small and you're kind of an outsider, I come in, I started this business and we've grown this business. And that's what really got me involved in the local government, because everybody's looking at me, seeing what I'm doing. You know, I pay a big chunk of taxes to the county. And that's kind of what got me involved and why I want to see it do better. It's obviously I want a better experience for our guests, mm-hmm. Most importantly with our rental company. But, you know, I just want to give back to the community that's really gave to me, because they have done so much, it seems, already. They've welcomed us. You know, I was the whole reason our rental company has grown the way it did is because of the people's support. So mm-hmm. I've been getting into government just to really help the community grow, because I'm so familiar with how to grow a business. And I think that's ties in a lot of times with government, to be able to, you know, set budgets, set all the things that I'm used to doing.
Well, I think when you have that passion, I think sometimes there's these rural areas of the Upper Cumberland that it's just, well, this is the way we've always done it. Mm-hmm. And so having a young couple come in and have the passion and desire to see change, and then, I mean, not that older folks aren't, you know, don't have the energy, but you do have a little bit more energy. You know, haven't been beat down by the system where people go, oh, there's nothing in Spencer. You know, you haven't heard that for the last 50 years, where some people are like, well, why even try and change? Just people have their minds made up about us. So there is, you know, kind of a driving factor with that. So you also are business owners.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You have a chain of Airbnbs called Folk Stays, mm-hmm. and you have a graphic design business called The Southern Folk.
Correct.
And those came first, and then you got involved with Spencer. What did you always think you were going to be a business owner?
Yes. I feel like I was just born to be a business owner. It really goes back to when I was a child. You know, I used to go, I don't know if you remember the little tiny skateboards, mm-hmm. the Tech Decks.
Yeah.
I used to.
The finger skateboards.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. When I was in middle school, I would go buy big packs, mm-hmm. and bring them to school and sell them for like a marked up cost.
On the playground, yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, from that age, I was just like born to do it. Mm-hmm. And one story I like to tell a lot is I was even in school. I had this idea to come up with a water bottle, and I invent a new water bottle. Okay, I probably had no idea what I was doing,
yeah.
But so I would sit in front of the TV, and there used to be trademark commercials that would run, and I would write down the trademark phone numbers,
oh my gosh.
And get on a landline, you know, the big wired on the wall, yeah. And I would call these, I was probably 10, oh I would call God. These people and pitch this water bottle idea. They thought I was crazy, but,
oh my gosh.
You know, and those commercials probably just, you pay a bunch of money for nothing,
yes.
But, you know, as a 10-year-old, that's just what I wanted to do.
And well, and as a 10-year-old, you needed the resources like the Biz Foundry to help launch business. Mm-hmm. You know, we that's a huge thing, is that you never know what that imagination or the inventive ways of youth are going to lead to in life. You know, now you're a business owner and you're pushing this whole community forward to, you know, care about tourism and care about economic development. All because, you know, you started with, I have this idea that I want to, you know, and it's silly now, but it really was laid a foundation for where you're at today.
Yeah. And still today, you know, I think back of those moments, and I learned so much at such a young age to be able to create these businesses. And I think the imagination, mm-hmm. of when I was a child really led to, you know, my adult businesses.
What about you, Allie? Were you getting in trouble for selling things on the playground, or what were you doing?
No. So I was just a typical kid, a student, like just focused on school. I didn't have like really any aspirations of owning a business. And when me and Gage got together, we just really meshed on wanting to do something different.
Yeah.
And that's what led into our businesses.
I feel like he's the ideas guy and you're the execution, mm-hmm. guy.
Well, I feel like she's the best motivator ever because, you know, if she, any idea I have, she's on board. She'll motivate, and you know, you don't see a lot of friends and family that will do that. But you know, any idea I bring, she's ready to do it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how crazy it seems.
I think that's a key to business partnerships. Mm-hmm. Is so often people will say, "Oh, my best friend," and they're very similar, and they want to go into business together. And it's like, but you need other skill sets. Somebody, you need to be the yin and yang, mm-hmm. and somebody has to be the motivator or the executor. Somebody has to be the vision. You know, you need to have that kind of partnership together.
That's definitely us. And I think that's why we've worked so well and been able to do so good, is because he has the crazy ideas and I'm the one like, yes, you can do it.
Yeah.
And she really keeps me on track. Yeah. You know, she's great at like scheduling, and you know, she was the kid that had all her binders and papers color-coded.
Yeah.
And stuff. So like we just recently bought like a 3-foot calendar that's mounted in our living room that she color coats. And yeah. You know, I wake up every day and I go to this calendar just to see what she wrote out for me. And so she's really good at keeping me on task and mm-hmm. the scheduling. And, you know, she helps with all the designs of the rentals. And, you know, she helps in every aspect of the business. But I think that's what she thrives at.
Yes, definitely.
Well, and having a successful business in a town that doesn't have a lot, it's not super well known. There's not big flashy stuff. It's definitely an outdoor area mm-hmm. that pulls people in. That's not easy to launch a business and have it be successful. And it seems like we're going to get into the after the commercial. We'll talk about how I'm guessing these businesses partner together and go really well together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm,
that was probably your evil plan.
it really was deep down. It started 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen overnight. And that's what a lot of people don't realize with business. I didn't just grow this business over the past 4 years. You know, I've made it thrive in the last 4 years, but it started 15 years mm-hmm. ago.
We'll be right back. Stick with us. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I've Gage and Allie Farmer from Folk Stays, Airbnbs, the Southern Folk, and all around just driving forces in the city of Spencer. Good old Spencer. So you said you've been an entrepreneur, Gage, were you both in business together all through everything?
No.
15 years? He started out before me and him met.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were already, he was selling skateboards on the playground. So tell me about this journey into entrepreneurship. You knew you wanted to have your own business. Tell me about your first business.
So right out of high school, you know, I started college, the normal path. And
everybody tell you you had to go. So
everybody told me I had to. I had no idea what I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I joined a fraternity because that's also the thing to do. And, you know, we'd have all these events that you had to dress up and put ties and bow ties. Fraternities love bow ties.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this wild idea to start a bow tie company. I didn't know how to sew. I didn't know anything legit about business. But I designed this really bad logo, and I went and bought a sewing machine, and I sat down one night and I mm-hmm. sewed and sewed and sewed until I had an awful bow tie.
But it was wearable.
It was questionable. But, you know, I practiced and kept practicing. I finally had a bow tie that mm-hmm. I considered wearable. And so I wore it to one of our fraternity meetings, and, you know, that everybody loved it. So I started making these bow ties to sell to the fraternities to my fraternity brothers, mm-hmm. you know. And after that, I was like, well, I need to go to the next step. I can't just, you know, wear my own bow ties. So I had this box and I put a bunch of bow ties in, and I walked around downtown Dalton and went into all the stores. And I just asked for the owner, whoever was over the products, and I would show them the bow tie, give them a couple samples and my card, and that didn't work.
He was very disappointed.
I was very disappointed. So I kept trying, and then I got a job working as a pharmacy tech at Kroger, and I would slide my business cards into the medicine bags.
He was not supposed to do that.
Which I was not supposed to do that, but I would.
Sorry, Kroger.
Yeah, I would just slide them into the medicine bags, and you know, one day somebody come back and she owned a store and she was like, I want you to come by the store and show me your bow ties and stuff. So I packed my box up. I went into the store and, you know, I showed them. And that day we signed a contract. I put my bow ties in her store with the display and stuff. Mm. And that boutique was actually like right next to the hospital. So all the doctors would come in there and the doctor's wives, and they started buying a bunch of bow ties. And you know, I started making bow ties quite a bit, and you know, that business kind of just faded off, not for any reason. You know,
were you still in college during this?
I was still in college. Yeah.
So you know, I mean, at that point, were you like, why am I doing dropping out of college?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I originally started college. I was super optimistic, and I was like, I'm going to be an architect because you know. That's what I thought was cool. Mm-hmm. And my advisor pretty much told me that that's not possible. Okay. So
she was barely a C student.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just did like a biology degree because that was just the next thing that I could do. And then I got really into graphic design because of the bow tie business.
Self-taught.
I transferred to Liberty University. Mm-hmm. And I took one semester and there was no graphic design in it. And so I was like, I'm not paying to go to college for graphic design.
And this is back before Canva was around where you know, anybody can do.
Yeah, this was just Adobe. Yeah. There was no Canva. You know, you actually had to learn programs. Mm. And so I did that one semester and I was like, this is not going to work. And so I dropped out and I started teaching myself graphic design. And that's how the Southern Folk become. And so the Southern Folk actually started as a travel blog.
And at this point, we were together and had started this travel blog together. I was part of it. We were going around doing the photography, going on hikes and getting
Did you have who had the photography skill set?
Gage.
Okay.
Me. Yeah.
I would like model in the photos.
Yeah. Yep.
And Pose he would and do the photos and I would write the articles and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that's where she really did well.
And was your driving force to have this blog that could make some money from it or did you, okay?
Yeah, so, you know, we were broke.
Very broke.
Broke, yeah. College student. I mean, this was when we were 18, 19, you know? And so the whole idea was to make a blog where maybe I could make a little money. And
because back then, Pinterest was where everybody got anything, and actual blogs is what was popular. And so that's where we came up with that idea.
And so then, you know, I started trying to teach myself graphic design. I built my own website for the Southern Folk, and I was doing designs for the blog post that I could share on Pinterest. You know, I made a trendy design that would go viral on Pinterest, and, you know, the blog did good. We never made a penny off of it, though. We never made any money, and
Were you getting clients, though? Was it an advertising piece for you?
We got a couple, like, little partnerships.
Yeah, interviews. Got a couple, like, sponsored. Like, they would just send us free stuff if we would take pictures of it.
Yeah, but there was no money involved. Yeah.
But nothing. Nobody said, hey, I want to hire you to do my graphic design work.
Right,
no.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And so, at that point, we started I wanted to transition the Southern Folk into the graphic design business, because that's what I really enjoy doing. And used that blog to, you know, perfect the trade, you know, if you can perfect anything. But I made our logo, I built the website, I did all these blog posts. And so after that, we transitioned the Southern Folk into a graphic design business. And actually on her birthday, I was like, I'm going to quit my job and be a graphic designer.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
That was before we made any money graphic design. I was just going to full send it and do it.
Well, we had talked about it, and we were living in a tiny little apartment, like barely scraping by. And Gage's thing was, if I can make $20 a day, then I'm going to quit my job. Mm. And that was the goal, $20 a day.
Yeah, so I quit my job, and the next day I made a post on Facebook, and I did some just mock-up logos. And I said, $10 logos today only. And we made $700 that weekend.
Wow.
We're skipping a part of the story.
Okay.
So Gage, he started trying to post the graphic design as Gage. Mm-hmm. And he was getting nothing. No one was replying to him. Like, no one was reaching out. And he was like, let's make you the face. Because it seems like this is something that females want, and they're not trusting of a man.
Because we were making a lot of logos for boutiques and stuff.
Yeah.
And so we got on my Facebook and started posting as me. And that was the weekend that we made $700 because we were making nothing.
Yeah.
And then when it was me, well, it wasn't actually me. It was my face. That's when our business really took off.
Yeah. And then that way you can work together, you know, and you can tap into your skill set and know what, you know, maybe the customer service or interacting with, you know, clients where, you know, they want the a trusted female for whatever reason behind the...
And that's what it was. I was the one messaging, getting all the stuff together, telling him this is what they want. He would sit there, do their design, send it back to me. I would get it approved. I would send the invoices and email it to him.
Well, and you guys seem like you have an outdoorsy, kind of nomadic, free spirit life. And so graphic design is really great because you could live in an RV anywhere in the world and do that kind of job.
And that's what we really did. We took at first, when we started making money with the Southern Folk, we spent it all on travel. We would go to Mexico like once a month and, you know, traveled all over the Caribbean. And
we went out west, like on 2 week trips, just driving across the country. We really spent a lot of time traveling, and it was because of our graphic design business.
Which is kind of the dream, right? Having the life you want, but making money, doing things. And, you know, were you still blogging at that time? Because that would have...
No, we pretty much stopped that when we transitioned it to the graphic design.
Yeah.
Well, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the Airbnbs. So stick with us. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Gage and Allie Farmer in today. Spencer, City of Spencer extraordinaires. I don't know. I'm gonna do it differently each time. So we've kind of heard about your graphic design business and how that started. You also have Airbnbs.
Yes.
And are they all in Van Buren County?
No, we have two in Van Buren County and two in Sequatchie County, which is Dunlap.
Okay. I'm like, I only know my Upper Cumberland.
Yeah.
So it's the next county down. And so what made you kind of jump into that realm of things?
So the rentals were also kind of on my radar 10, 15 years ago.
Something that we spent many years dreaming about, but we never had the funds to actually do it. And that's what our graphic design business did for us.
Yeah. So once the graphic design business started making money, I dumped all that into our rental business. But I spent probably 5 years just researching, learning, reading books, watching YouTube videos.
Well, and 15 years ago, Airbnb was not a thing. So were you looking at short-term rentals? Because that was just it was a lot harder then.
Well, when we were traveling around, we would specifically go to places like Gatlinburg and take pictures of A-frames and these really cool places. And I would always say, like, I'm going to own that one day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what I just wanted to do. And short-term rentals were around, just Airbnb wasn't around. Mm-hmm. So people had direct booking sites and stuff. And then Airbnb come around and I was like, that's what I want to do. But I just didn't know how to get there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I spent many years planning, researching, and actually we saved up before I did anything. I was like, I'm going to save up $100,000 because I want to make sure we don't fail at this. So we spent 5 years. We saved up $100,000. Thankfully, because we lived in a rental that her dad owned, that he only charged us, you know, barely anything for rent. So we were able to do that. And so we had the money. I was like, I'm going to go all in. And we searched and searched until we found our first A-frame.
So it had to be an A-frame.
I was like, it had to be an A-frame.
It had to be an A-frame, yes.
Were you on board with that, or were you frustrated, Allie?
No, I wanted the A-frame. I wasn't going to just settle for anything because we had this vision for what we wanted our business to be back then, and we didn't want just regular houses. We wanted cool houses, unique houses, things that not everybody has. And so I was not settling either.
And unique properties is really what thrives on Airbnb. And so I finally found the A-frame. What I would do is I would get on Zillow, I would zoom out, and I would go from Dalton, because we were still living in Georgia. Yeah, I would go from Dalton to Spencer, and I searched and searched, and I couldn't find anything. So then I went to pending, you know, Zillow has the pending.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's supposed to be pending, so, you know, somebody's going to buy it. But I found an A-frame, and I called. And they're like, yeah, this isn't going through. You know, we'll call you back if it doesn't. Well, then they called me back, and they're like, they're backing out of the sale. And I was like, we got to go.
Like, this is meant to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we drove up there that night. I looked at the house. I made an offer that day.
Yep.
And they accepted it. And it was just a dump, though.
Mm-hmm. It really was.
That was the problem.
But it was just, when I walked in the house, I just felt like this is our house. Yeah. And there was nothing going to stop us from getting this house and turning it into our dream.
Right.
Was there a little bit of like, you're living in a rental, so you're not, you don't even have like roots mm-hmm. yet yourselves. And then falling in love with this first property, was there a little bit of, well, this isn't even, I don't even get to stay here. I don't get to live here.
No.
Because you just had the vision for the business.
Well, I think that was, like, it was a backup plan to, we could live there if it failed.
Yeah.
You know?
But we were so confident that it was going to do good that was really just like, worst case scenario, mm-hmm. we'll live here.
And I always had this mindset to invest first and then mm-hmm. buy our own houses. Because if we spend all our money on our own house and stuff, then I feel like all we're doing is working to pay our bills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted property to pay our bills for us.
Yeah.
And so we spent the next 8 months remodeling that property. And during that, we were like, I need to be closer. And I had this vision to build all these cabins outside of Fall Creek Falls. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking. I found a house that we both liked. And we moved to Spencer. Mm-hmm. And we finished the A-frame. And then it did really well. And so we were like, it's game on. We're going to keep going. Yeah. And so I searched and searched, and I started cold calling. For anybody that doesn't know what that is, it's just I would find people that own the property. And
were they all A-frames?
No, these were just raw land.
Just land.
So this was just raw land. I was like, we're just going to build our own, because you can't really find many cool properties around. And so I just started cold calling people. I would just look up their information, like, hey, can I buy your land? Can I buy your land? And finally, a guy out of Chicago, I called, and he was like, yeah, you can buy this 5 acres that he had within, it was like, what is it, 5 miles from the park?
It's, yes.
5 miles. It's on the main road to the park. And I made an offer, and we closed on it, you know, a month later. Mm-hmm. And then that was really where it's like, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And so we sat down, started making house plans, and, you know, we just started building from there.
So, you know, your story goes of you just kind of building your own business. And then that's turning into building something for the city of Spencer as well. You know, that economic development factor, like you said, you're paying a lot of money in taxes to that city. And then really kind of they need economic development in Spencer. They need things that are going to A, bring people there, but then B, that are going to be turning a profit that is bringing in more tax dollars. I think sometimes people think, well, you know, you're charging me all these taxes. It's like, well, yeah, but how else are you going to build a community and build better things and make the community grow to what it needs to be?
Right. And that's a big, I guess, scaring factor for a lot of people is like all this taxes. But, you know, with Airbnb and stuff, they automatically pay this for you, and the guests pay it. You know, it's not coming out of your pocket. Yeah, you have your income tax and stuff at the end of the year and stuff, but like your hotel motel tax with Airbnb is automatically taken out.
So we never see that money.
Always going to all these counties, some counties get so against the hotel motel tax. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but it's a tax that's put on your guests, and they're going to pay it because they want to go there. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to go to Big South Fork and, you know, go horseback riding, and they want to see Fall Creek Falls, and they're going to go to these more remote areas because they like the outdoors. And it is so much, you know, you can have signage that you put up in Spencer that you're driving through, and you can know, oh, okay, there's Fall Creek Falls, and then there's cabins that are, you know, accessible to that too. I think that people just don't understand the big picture sometimes.
Yeah, and that's what people fail to do, see the big picture. Mm-hmm. And they can't see the vision ahead. You know, they worry about all the little things. And the way I've always done it is I'll just cross that bridge when I get there and we'll figure it out.
So as somebody who's in the back, you know, behind the scenes of the city of Spencer, what is the vision? What can we expect to see in the next 5 years from the city of Spencer? You know, what's going to happen? Having a tourism council, I think, is a really good, you know, that's a new step. What's that going to do?
I think there's a lot of young leaders that's starting to emerge in Spencer with different visions. And, you know, I don't think specifically me, I'm not looking to have a Walmart in Spencer.
No.
A lot of older generations are scared for growth. I want sustainable growth. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to bring things in here where we don't have to drive to Sparta or Cookeville. You know, we can eat local and stuff. So I'm not looking to make Spencer a big city.
And you can still have, you know, two or three sit down nice restaurants that aren't just a, you know, anything that you can find on Interstate Drive in Cookeville. You can still have that homey small town, you know, feel, but still have some restaurants that are nicer that you can sit down and eat at.
Yeah, and one of the people that's on the Economic Development and Tourism Council with us is Brad, and he is opening up a really, really nice restaurant, and it's called The Ugly Mug, and it should be opening within the next month or so. You know, they just hired staff, and that's going to be Spencer's first really, like, nice sit-down. It's kind of a sports bar vibe. You know, they will serve alcohol and stuff.
They're going to have live music.
They'll have live music and bar food, but that's Spencer's like first type of thing.
The Ugly Mug. So where's that going to be? You know, I think sometimes you drive around the square in Spencer and you're like, this is sad. I get sad.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Ugly Mug's actually just right off 111. It's by the city park. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been through Spencer, it's across the street from the bank.
Okay.
And I'm sure he's going to do some signage and stuff, but it's
going to
be.
We'll have to get him in here and tell his story as well.
I know. And I think it's going to be great for Spencer and the people.
What else do you want people to know about Spencer and you know, what other driving? I mean, there's a lot of tourism. Obviously, there's places to stay. What other things do you think is really important that's happening?
I think that, like I said, the local leaders, I think mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of people that, you know, are going to start coming out and talking more about the area.
I think that's the thing, like having a megaphone almost, like, you know, mm-hmm. being the big mouth in a good way that tell people, hey, we got more going on here than just a Subway and speeding tickets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the Chamber is, they just completely revamped. They have a new mm-hmm. president. They have
all new leaders. Yes.
Yeah. And they're doing a lot more events mm-hmm. and they're starting to host, you know, like farmers markets and stuff like that. So I think, you know, just spend some time in Spencer and you'll find things to do.
So speaking of, where can people stay at folks? How can people find folks stays if they want to stay there? If they just search in Airbnb, is there a way to find them specifically, your properties?
So we're on Airbnb, VRBO. But you can also find us on our direct booking website, which is folkstays.com.
Folkstays.com.
Yeah, and we're on social media, you know, Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook, all of those.
All at Folkstays.
Yep.
And if people are listening and they want to check out your graphic design work, how can they find you there?
It's called The Southern Folk, and we're also on social media with there too. We have thesouthernfolk.com. We're super active on our Facebook page, mostly with The Southern Folk.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in here today. I'm super excited to see what's happening in Spencer and the Ugly Mug. Not that that's what we were talking about today, but I'm ready to go and sit down and have a meal there. Maybe even stay, you know, at one of the cabins and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so, we would love to have you.
Thank you so much, Gage and Allie Farmer, the Southern Folk, and the Folk Stays Airbnbs. Thank you so much.